Chapter 9, if you're there, say amen. Verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answereth him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And he saith unto him, now listen, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to stand and preach your word. Thank you for each one that's come this way tonight. Thank you for each one that might be watching on Facebook or YouTube. Thank you for the service this morning, Lord. You've been good to us, God. And Lord, whatever's done tonight, we're going to know that Jesus did it all, Lord. Help us right now, God, as we expound on this scripture just a little bit. God, touch hearts. Help us to draw closer to you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is coming off the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, it can't get no better. Amen. I mean, Peter, James, and John are up there with Jesus. They see things that no man really ought to be able to see. They see Jesus change in his form. He is white and glowing. They see with him Moses, and they see Elijah with him. They are seeing things that they should not be seeing. It is awesome. Have you ever noticed on the mountaintop, we all love being on the mountaintop, amen? We all love being up there. The mountaintop is where we receive our blessings, amen? Amen. The valleys are where we become the blessing. Did you hear what I just said? The mountaintop is where we receive our blessings, but our valleys is where we ought to become the blessing, amen? It's our attitude. Our attitude makes the difference. Amen? And I want to preach a little while from the mountain to the valley. And Peter, James, and John are on the mountain. They come off this mountain. They are on a spiritual high. They are. It can't get no better. Amen? I mean, how many of us, when we left here this morning, I mean, it was good. I mean, they did a great job singing. I mean, the preacher did a great job bringing the message. People were on the altar getting help, and we were praying for people. And it's somewhere between about 12:30 this afternoon and 6 o'clock this afternoon, somebody faced something. Somewhere between about 12:30 when we got out of church and now something came up. Hey, Heather's not feeling well. When she left church this morning, she was feeling well. Amen. That's just how life is. But it all determines about our attitude. How do you face things in your life? Don't you just notice something? Let's look at what the Savior found. Jesus found people that were in confusion. He found a demon-possessed boy, a young man that was demon-possessed. Satan is working, doing his utmost to get a hold of our youth. I wish that, I told somebody this morning, Dallas, I wish that when I was 18, 19, 20 years, I think the youngest one this morning was 18 years old. The oldest one this morning was 24 years old. I wish that when I was 18 years old, I'd have been in a Christian college somewhere. I wish that when I was 18 years old, God had a hold of my life like he does right now. What in the world could I have accomplished in my life if I'd have given my life to the Lord early, early on in my life? Brother Tommy, where could we be? But the devil is doing his very best to get our young people. Why in the world are we letting him? And if we're not careful, we're letting him. Satan is doing his very best. I mean, Satan uses music. Satan uses the movies. Satan will even use our schools to get our young people. We need to stand up for what's right, amen? But Jesus found a demon-possessed boy. Jesus found also disputing scribes. Notice what the Bible said in verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. That word questioning right there comes from the Greek word, means to investigate or to dispute. These scribes were disputing with his disciples. They're down there, understand something. You've got Jesus' disciples. We know that Peter, James, and John was on the mountain with Jesus. All the other nine disciples were down there. If this man brings this boy to him, they try to cast out the boy, the demon out of the boy, they can't do it, and now the scribes get involved. You ever notice that religious crowd thinks they can do it better than everybody else? Oh, they're in every church. We probably got them right here, amen. I mean, somebody's doing the very best they can do, Chucky, and somebody wants to criticize. Somebody says, well, if you can do it that much better, I'll just sit down and let you do it, amen? If you ain't doing nothing, keep your mouth shut. The Bible says these scribes were disputing. We know they opposed Jesus. We know that they opposed everything about Jesus. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And now Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is getting blessed. Jesus is getting encouragement. Jesus is getting his soul refitted because he knows he's going to the cross. And Jesus come down off of that mountain, and now he's faced with this. Sometimes if we ain't careful, we can be those disputing scribes. There have been times, I know y'all gonna find this shocking, there have been times that I preach messages in this pulpit, and I'm talking about I'm on a spiritual high, brother. I'm talking about I'm on a spiritual high. It's been a great service, and before I can get to the parking lot, preacher, I need to talk to you about something. And Ronnie, in all reality, ain't nothing more than a hill of beans. Folks, sometimes I don't want to be a disputing scribe. I want to be somebody that builds somebody up. I want to be that encourager, amen. But Jesus comes down and he finds that. He also finds disillusioned people. They didn't know who to believe. The people standing around, the scribes are fussing about this, the disciples fussing about that. They didn't know who in the world to believe. Let me tell you something, folks. If you don't turn the TV off and get in your Bible, you ain't going to know who to believe. I'm telling you right now, because they'll lie to you so much on TV, you don't know who's telling the truth. And I'm telling you right now, there are more disillusioned people in America today than there's ever been in our history. You got half them nuts in Hollywood fussing about stuff. Then you got half them nuts in Washington fussing about stuff. You don't know who to believe about it. Amen? Best thing for us to do is stay with the Bible. Don't you notice something else that Jesus found? Jesus found a disbelieving father. Now watch this. Brother Chucky, I never saw this in the scripture. Look at verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And whosoever and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him, Jesus answered the Father. I've always thought Jesus was talking to the crowd, but Jesus answers the Father. Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. The thing about it is, he brings this young boy to the disciples when he should have just waited on Jesus to start with. He heard about Jesus. He had heard about all the things that Jesus was doing. Let me tell you something. The woman with the issue of blood, when she pressed through that crowd, she wasn't going to Peter. She wasn't going to John. She was going to Jesus. And why did you come here tonight? What do you got going on in your life that you need help with? So some of y'all going to the doctor. Bless God, y'all to go to Jesus. Some of y'all trying to go to the lawyer. Y'all to go to Jesus. I'm telling you, that's our problem. We have disbelief. Well, I tell you right now, that doctor of mine sure knows what he's doing. That doctor of mine's the best I've ever seen. Well, that's all well and good. And if God uses that to take care of business, that's all right. But did you go to Jesus first? Jesus said, oh, faithless generation. Jesus basically told that man, you ain't got no faith. How many times are we like that? That's what Jesus found. Let's look at how Jesus felt. I believe Jesus was in pain. Jesus said, oh, faithless generation. Our faithlessness, our lack of faith upsets Jesus. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Why did somebody, every once in a while we find in the Bible that somebody actually, Benji, exercised their faith and it blew Jesus' mind? Amen. Let me just read you a passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10 says this, and Jesus was entered into Capernaum. There came of him a centurion. This was a Roman soldier. A centurion. This was not a Jew. This was a Roman soldier. There came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, go, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great, no, not in Israel. Jesus was saying, my people ain't got this kind of faith. Amen. Why in the world is it that the church of the living God, we're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we have no faith? I want to be the kind that it blows Jesus' mind. Amen. I want to be the kind that I don't have to worry. I'm going to have faith right on to the end. Amen. When's the last time we exercised our faith? Oh, if we ain't careful, we put, I tell you, I'm going to go get that shot and everything's going to be all right. I told the story many times over the years, and I'll tell it again tonight. I remember one time Blake and Brandon were both not feeling well. They were sick, and we was at a church in Lake City. I was pastoring the first church I ever pastored, and Juwan said, oh, we need to get Blake and Brandon anointed. We got up, and we anointed them with oil and prayed for them, and we got back in the car going home that night. Blake was probably 10, 11 years old, somewhere along that, and Brandon said, I wish we could go home and go and play outside. Blake said, we can. Brandon said, no, we can't. We ain't. We sick. Blake said, we ain't sick. We got anointed. Amen. When's the last time you had that attitude? My God, we'll come down here and we have the anointing oil running down our face before we can get back, sit down in the seat. Well, I tell you, man, I don't know if it's going to work or not. Well, guess what? It didn't. If that's your attitude, it didn't. Our attitude ought to be, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. God's going to. I told you, our attitude, we need to have a mountaintop attitude all the time. But the problem is, if we ain't careful, Brother Robert, instead of being on the mountaintop, we live in the valley. Jesus found this. Jesus said, oh, faithless generation. I believe Jesus was in pain. Amen. I believe Jesus felt pity. Verse 19 says this. He answered him and said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Jesus was trying to teach them that they had the same power through his word that he had, and they did not get it. How many of y'all believe we still got the same power? Amen. I'll give you a good example. We know that Peter and John are going into the temple. This is after Jesus has been resurrected. Jesus is back already in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. There's a man. He is begging alms at the temple. Peter comes in. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says he reached out, picked him up, and the man was walking. That Jesus is already in heaven when that takes place. The Apostle Paul healed many people just by speaking the word. Understand something, folks. If God gave you promises in this right here, they're still applicable today, glory to God. But the problem is, hey, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Amen. Now, that it didn't say might be. It didn't say could be. It said shall be. It's all in our attitude. It's all in our attitude. I believe Jesus had pity on them. The problem is we don't have no power. A seminary class. Herbert Jackson told a story about a new missionary that came to this certain place. This new missionary comes to this certain place and somebody gave him a car, Brother Robert. True story. Now, true story. Somebody gave him a car and the car wouldn't start. So this missionary came up with an idea. He said what he did, he went to this seminary class and he said, I need the young people to help me get this car started every morning. And what they would do, Brother Ralph, they would come out and they would push him off. Y'all know how some of the old cars was. Straight drive, amen. Some of y'all ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. Pop the clutch and it would start off, amen. Mike, you know what I'm talking about. Well, these missionary students would start him off every morning. He'd pop the clutch and he'd go about doing his visiting. And when he got to where he was going to stop, he would either park on a hill so he could start it off by himself, or he would park where and just leave the motor running and go in and do his visiting and come back. Well, after about 2 years, he got sick. So he had to basically stepped down, and they brought in a new one. And this old missionary, Brother Jerry, this old missionary couldn't hardly wait to tell this new guy how he had endured the last few years with this car. He comes in and he's telling this new missionary, Brother Charlie, this is what I had to do. I went and got the students and they would push it off. Well, the new missionary popped the hood. And before the old missionary, Ronnie, could finish the story, the young missionary said, I think I see the problem. Yeah. He said, this cable on the battery is not tightened up. He wiggled the cable a little bit, got in, and it fired right up. Yeah. Amen. That's how many of us live our lives. You struggling along, doing the best you can, and the power source is right there already, but you ain't got it. I like to say it, something I'd have got in trouble for. Y'all ain't never done that, have you? I started to say, we ain't got enough sense to get the power source hooked up. How many of y'all believe Jesus still answers prayers? Why in the world are we struggling then? How many of y'all believe that Jesus can heal? Why in the world are we going through what we're going through? It's all in our attitude, amen? This man was doing his job. He was getting the things done, but the power source was there. All it had to be done was hooked up. I want to hook it up, amen? That's how I want to live my life. I believe Jesus felt provoked. Jesus said this, how long shall I suffer you? To put it in Lancaster terms, what Jesus said, Stephen, was, how long am I going to have to put up with this? How long am I going to have to put up with this? How long is Jesus going to have to put up with our faithlessness? Think about that now. I wonder sometimes when I, Brother Tony, when I get doubts, if Jesus don't look down and say, how long am I going to put up with this? How long is he going to put up with it with you? We all face doubts. We all go through hard times. We all do that. But I'm just telling you, folks, the power's there. You and I just need to access it, amen? That's what Jesus found. That's how Jesus felt. And I want you to notice something, how Jesus finished it. And Jesus put out a challenge to this father. And he's putting out the same challenge to you and I today. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. If you can only believe, all things are possible. If you can only just get a hold of this, all things are possible. And what happened when Jesus put this challenge to this man, I believe this challenge, this man broke down, and what he said, Lord, help me with my unbelief. He had a child that had been suffering for years and years and years, and all, the answer was there all the time. He had it in his right there. How much do we have to suffer when the answer's there all the time? Lord, help me with my unbelief. That's my prayer tonight. Help me with my unbelief. Help me with my unbelief. I read a story as I was studying for this. The big tournament, I think in Pasadena, they was having a big parade one year, the Tournament of Roses parade. And as everything was getting started, those things are on a time schedule. If you've ever watched them on TV, they're on a time schedule, you know. And if one float messes up, it boogers up the whole mess. One float stopped and died. The truck ran out of gas pulling it. It was the Standard Oil Company float. How in the world could the Standard Oil Company float run out of gas? How in the world can Christians run out of gas? How can the world, as Christians, not have enough faith to do what the Bible tells us he wants us to do? This is my challenge to you tonight. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. If you can only believe. If you can only believe, God can put your family back together. If you can only believe, God can take care of your finances. If you can only believe, God can take care of your job situation. If you can only believe, God can take care of your health. Amen? I want you to bow your heads.